What is going on, everybody? Big drubbing of New Mexico State today. We talked about it, how the Badgers had to have a dominant performance, how we wanted them to look dominant, have a get-right game. I think they did all of that. So we're going to talk about it, therapy session, jump on the show. The link is on Twitter, all that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining. Thank you much, so much for tuning in. Your show every day, your team every single day, here after every game, win or lose, good, bad, or indifferent. And I want to thank BetOnline. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your props, odds, and lines. Better than ever before, BetOnline, where the game starts. And let's just get into it. The live show, we're going to break down the New Mexico State game and just basically all the, how do we feel? Do we feel better? New Mexico State's terrible, but that was also a 66-7 drubbing. The line was 37. They annihilated them. So all your comments, you know, we're going to put it in the links. Someone asked in the comments where the link is. The link is on Twitter or in our Discord. I'll put the link in the comments as well, so you guys can join the show. I'm here for all the community. You know, all the comments, all your thoughts. We're going to get into it all. Let me throw this comment up in the show as, or up in the, let me show the invite up in our comments. And then let's get into it. Dave, I already got to you in the queue. Dave, let's just jump to you right now. Welcome to the show, man. What did you think of the game? What are your thoughts? Do you feel better? And there goes Dave. Dave's gone. But that's fine. Dave, come back if you can, man. Let's get into it. So, big takeaways. First of all, Graham Mertz, this is the third straight performance, y'all. Like, I know it's New Mexico State, and I know the previous week was Washington State, and I know the previous week was Illinois State, but like, that's three good performances in a row. Mertz was 12 of 15, 251, three touchdowns, one interception, and that interception came on a tip pass. Maybe he shouldn't have thrown it anyway, but even if you leave that in, a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, 250 yards, 12 of 15, like, he's getting really good. Again, like, you, I know it's not a good team. We all know that. But there were performances last year, in the last couple of years, against not very good teams where Mertz struggled, where he wasn't throwing for 250 yards. Blake, I see you in the queue, man. Let's get you on the show. Let's get some user comments and thoughts into this. Blake, what's going on?
Yo, how's it going?
Dude, what did you think? Do you feel better after that game, or does it matter for New Mexico State?
I think every game matters in some sense. You have to take something away from everything. Definitely better, though, 100%.
Give me your thoughts on Mertz.
I thought he looked great. He had the two missed passes to DK, but they were pretty close, just, you know, like 5-6 inches away from being possible to catch. Mm-hmm. Besides that, he had a couple of just great throws to Bell, especially, who had a great game.
Yeah, I thought the Bell throws were good. And honestly, curious on this, what did you think of that second DK throw, Blake? It felt like DK, if he laid out, might have still been able to get that one.
Yeah, that one I think should have been possibly caught. I think the first one was a lot worse, technically. It's still not terrible. But the second one definitely had potential. I think there was stuff he could have done to make it possible to catch, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But even with that, you know, he 12 of 15, there's the two DK throws we talked about, the one interception. If this is who Mertz is, do you feel better about going into Ohio State?
Oh, for sure. Because if we had like 2020 midseason Mertz, 2021 early season Mertz, this might be 60-0. No, I'm kidding. It wouldn't be 60-0, but yeah, it would be a rough game.
Yeah, and this Ohio State game may still be rough. Like, we're not going to make too much of a game against New Mexico State, but to your point, man, like, that's what you have to do to bad teams. You have to beat them by 50. You have to beat them by 60.
Yeah, for sure. I remember 2019, early on, it was like USF and Central Michigan just beat them by 49, 60. That's what you want to see in these kind of games. When we should be beating them, we have great potential to have a good offense this year. Things just need to lay out right.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Blake, dude, thank you so much for the call. Stay on if you have any comments. Let me know. We're going to keep getting through all the comments of the show. Really appreciate the support, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right, let's get into some of the comments, because I got a bunch to talk about, but I want to get all your comments up here. Adam Novak, lots to be excited about for next week, TBD. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be excited about here. Again, everything is going to be through the lens of it's New Mexico State. I get that. That's fine. You still beat them by 59 points, right? And the only points you gave up were with the third and fourth string defense. So Graham Mertz looks really good. He's making the right reads. Even on those two Chimre, the two DK passes that were incomplete, those are the right reads. He found the right guy. You know, if he executes those, it's 14 of 15 with the tipped pick. That's really good. You know, the defense looks like it's starting to gel. Getting Justin Clark back, I think, is a big deal. It helps out a lot. The penalties were more. We talked about let's have a clean game, right? Last week was not a clean game. And clean games are almost opponent independent, right? How do you execute? You know, do you get the play in on time? You know, and they did all that this week. There's four penalties, vice 11 last week. They cleaned up on the turnovers. The special teams looked better. You know, the kicking game was better. Dean Ingram was better on punt returns. Penalties were, again, cleaned up. Yeah, Adam, I agree, man. There was a lot out of this week to like, even with a lesser opponent that we played. Andrew Larson, really like the way Grendel played. Big weapon for this team. Thank you. Andrew, you and me are in the same boat here. Like, I've been saying it for weeks. And I'll say even in this game, and y'all let me know what you think. Let me know in the comments. But even in this game, I want to see Grendel used more in a role where he's not just where he's more involved in the primary offense. I think you can use him as a decoy. I think, and maybe that's still coming, right? Maybe the idea with Grendel is to use him against Ohio State and kind of unleash some things that we don't have on film. That's totally possible. But he is so big and fast that to use him in mop up duty. And as the kind of the kick returner, it feels like we're wasting an asset that Wisconsin's offense doesn't get very often, right? There's just, forget Wisconsin's offense. There's not very many dudes on this planet that are 6'1", 220 pounds and run a 4.35. They're just not that many guys walking around like that. And we haven't been able to see Grendel because he's been hurt for years. He's healthy now. I really think... Maybe, yeah, I'm not saying you give him 15 carries a game because you obviously have Malusi, Braylon Allen, receivers, tight ends to feed, but he needs to get like 5 or 6 touches a game in primary roles. And you need to use him as decoys on jet sweeps, on wheel routes, on smoke screens, on, you know, options in the offense where you can isolate him on a linebacker because he is just so athletic and he's so unique. So, Andrew, you and I totally agree, man. I think Grendel looks great. I think he needs to be a bigger part of the team, and it's totally possible that's still coming, right? Like, you didn't have to do it for New Mexico State. So if that's still coming for Ohio State, I'm all here for it. If as the season unfolds and he's still healthy, we're not seeing more touches for him. I'm going to get frustrated because that's just a unique type of weapon that you have to use. Andrew, man, thank you so much for the comments. We're going to continue the therapy show, New Mexico State. A lot to be happy about, even with the lack of a quality opponent here. Donovan Fitzsimmons, man, thank you so much for the, again, everybody who comments, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting the show, for listening, for tuning in. If you want to jump on the show, join the show, please. I highly encourage it. I'm all about getting more voices on the show. The link to join it is on our Twitter account. It's also in the comments for the live feed on YouTube. So whichever one works better, click on it, join the show. I'd love to talk to you, put your thoughts out there. Donovan Fitzsimmons, Burkett showed some promise for the future. I thought he looked really good, right? Like, you know, it's interesting. Because before the game, one of the keys I had was I want to see a dominating performance from Wisconsin. And I was measuring that by the fact that a dominating performance means Mertz only plays about 3 quarters, right? And that basically happened. Wisconsin took care of business. They did everything they had to do. You saw a lot of Burkett. You saw some Deacon Hill. Burkett looked really good. You know, he looked – one of the biggest things for a young quarterback is does he look poised? Does he look in control? You know, are the snaps getting off on time? Are there delay of game penalties? Is he going through his reads? All that's check, 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 check for Burkett, right? He looked really good. And everything we've ever heard about Miles Burkett is the intangibles are off the chart. He is a smart kid, a good enough arm. He's a winner. He's going to learn the playbook quickly. And, you know, for him to come in as a true freshman by week 3 and look like he has an idea of what he's doing, to be able to push the ball down the field at times, I thought he looked great. So given the circumstances, right, context matters. We're not playing Ohio State. The game was out of hand at that point, but he could still have come in and looked like a true freshman. He still could have come in and tripped over himself. We've all seen Jack Cohn initial performance. We've seen, you know, young quarterbacks in their initial performance at Wisconsin look really bad. And that was not Miles Burkett. He looked totally competent, which is about as much as you can expect out of a true freshman quarterback. Coming up, a bunch more comments, a bunch more things to talk about. Defense looked great. Does this change any of our thoughts going into Ohio State? All that and more coming up on Locked On Badgers. A bunch more to get into. Really appreciate it. Wisconsin Badgers Therapy Show. First, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. Live Vegas games, roulette, blackjack, in-game betting, futures. I hit on Wisconsin today. I had a feeling like if Wisconsin had any backbone, any spine, coming off that Washington State game, they were going to pulverize. That's a word I just made up. Pulverize and pummel. Pulverize. They were going to pulverize Washington State, and they did. The line was 37. I was all over that. Unfortunately, I was also on the Nebraska line. I thought they would have some new coach energy and cover against Oklahoma, and they got demolished. So that's unfortunate. I ended up breaking even today. But, you know, you can do that kind of stuff with BetOnline. It's a lot of fun if you have a feel on a game. Football, basketball, baseball, esports, UFC, racing. It's all there. Futures betting, live in-game betting. Grab your mobile device. Head to the website today. Check out all your favorite sports and events. Learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to thank everybody again. I say it all the time. I don't mean to beat a dead horse. Maybe I need to stop saying it, but I appreciate every single person who is jumping in to listen to the show, to support the show, leave comments. Y'all are the best fan base ever. I'm so appreciative of it. We're going to keep building it. And it's Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. Let's keep going with the comments. Ionic Mystic, let's go. That's about it, right? Woo, let's get it. I mean, that's a great performance. It's a bad team, but this is what bad team, this is what good teams should do to bad teams, right? This is a sign of a team. We talked recently about Wisconsin Badgers teams kind of sleepwalking a little bit against lesser competition, taking a half to wake up. You know, Wisconsin, first drive, 3-4 plays, Braylon Allen, touchdown. They were locked in from the jump. The defense looked great from the jump. That's a sign that the coaching staff had them ready. The players were amped up. I think there was definitely some anger, right, from that Washington State game let out initially on New Mexico State. So, yeah, Ionic Mystic, friend of the show, definitely support us. Appreciate it. I'm right there with you on that one. Zach Bartz, a lot of good today. Defense made some huge hits. Special team stepped up. Mertz and Burkett looked good. Yeah, a lot of what we hit on, I would say defense, again, let's focus on that. Defense made some big hits. We highlighted last week Kamoi Latu. I'm telling y'all, and again, I'm not breaking news here. Like, if you watch the game, you can see it too. Like, I'm not, you know, Captain Obvious in a way. Like, he brings lumber. Like, what a good pickup getting him from Utah on the transfer portal. Not just because there was a hole at safety, not just because there were depth issues at safety when Trevion Blaylock got hurt, but he's literally just a good player. He would have been a great pickup regardless of. And Zach, man, great comment. Thank you for the support. He would have been a great pickup regardless of whether the depth issues or not. He is a big, fast, physical dude on the back end. And I think he probably has a few coverage issues. I know that was kind of the rap on him coming both into Utah and from Utah to Wisconsin, talking to John Garcia. You know, he's better playing in the box. He's better playing physical, coming up, you know, really being that enforcer, that Michael Caputo type of player, you know, the player that can, Joe Stellmacher, that can come up and bang a tight end, come across the middle, force an incompletion. We saw that today. I don't know how he's going to be in the deep end in coverage, but what a good pickup. Look great. Special team stepped up. Yeah. I mean, we touched on that. Let's touch a little bit more. You know, 1-for-1 on field goals. It looked good. It wasn't a shank or anything. Hit every extra point, Van Zelst. All the kickoffs were reasonably good. I had a nice kickoff return from Isaac Arendo, who, again, we talk about. That dude has juice. Punting game was really solid. Dean Ingram was good on returns. Yeah, across the board, right? When you break it down, across the board, special teams was good today. Probably at least a B plus. And that's coming off a week last week where it wasn't very good. So, excuse me. Yeah, Zach, 100% agree. Special teams were good. Definitely a plus today. Competition's about to step way, way up. But we needed to see the clean execution, and we saw that today. TM3389, that may be one of the worst teams in Division I history. Stay healthy this week, see what happens. Yeah, listen, again, I am not here to try to make this into a Super Bowl. 100% agree, TM. That was a train. That's a train wreck of a team. I was watching on the first, literally the first drive, you know, Tippmann takes a defensive lineman, our linebacker, and just throws them like I throw my seven-year-old son. Like, that's a really bad team. The quarterbacks are atrocious. There's no explosive players anywhere. We could have ran the ball every single snap and beat them by 30 or 40, I think. So, very bad team. I think Wisconsin, for the most part, looked like they came out of this game healthy. I know we saw Ches Malusi get banged up a little bit. But for the most part, I think they came out of this game healthy, which is the most important thing. New Mexico State is certainly not the the barometer by which we need to judge our season. But again, I said it a couple times. I'll say it again. That's what you need to do to bad teams, right? You need to beat them 66-7, you know, 49-0, 53-3. I don't know how you get to 53, but the point remains you need to pummel bad teams. And that's exactly what they did. So yeah, I 100% agree, man. Bad team, but they took care of them. Let's go keep on with TM3389. And again, if you have questions, comments, guys, throw them in the show, throw them in the comments. Let me know the link to join the show. Everyone is free to join the show. Jump on Twitter or in our comment section on YouTube. I'll post the link back in there. Feel free to jump in and throw your thoughts up there. We'll chop it up. Whatever you want to talk about. What are your big takeaways? TM3389, I think the biggest question is who starts at right tackle and right guard? You know, right tackle is interesting. So all of this obviously depends on Riley Malman. Right. Malman was the guy Bostead had coming out of camp. He is. And again, like there's so much there as a blue chip prospect, huge 6'8", 6'9", long arms, athletic. Bob Bostead, you know, when they were talking about him in the preseason, Bob Bostead said something along the lines of, yeah, they don't make people that big, that athletic. So him getting hurt kind of puts that whole spot in flux because it shouldn't be Logan Brown. It should be Trey Wettig. We saw in this game, Logan Brown and Trey Wettig kind of shifted. Brown was the starter. Wettig came in. I think Bob Bosa was a little frustrated with Logan Brown, who, let me be honest, let me be fair, Logan Brown as a point of attack blocker is pretty solid. Like, he can move people. He's a big physical guy, but I think he lacks some of the foot speed, some of the ability to hit targets in space, to be a pass protector. And then Trey Wettig came in, and I was watching him on his first play, and that dude is another just mountain of a man. And he got off the line of scrimmage, picked up a linebacker on the second level, buried him. It was, I think, on Malusi's big run, one of Malusi's big runs. And I've long thought Trey Wettig had a future at right tackle, right? Kind of that just road grading, big, huge, physical right tackle. And nothing I saw today dissuades that opinion. He looks like a monster. So who should start right tackle? That's a great question, 3389. I mean, it's Malman when he's healthy. And I got to be honest, I think it might be Wettig if Logan Brown can't improve a little bit in pass pro. Maybe Trey's the guy. We saw Nolan Rucci on the field today as well. There's a lot of young talent there, and there's a lot of good options for Bob Bostead to pivot to. Hopefully Malman gets back. I think we need him. I think there's a reason Bostead pivoted to him as fall camp wound down. Let's go to Coldstone. How do you feel about the running backs today? And, you know, everybody let me know, what do you guys think about the running backs today? I thought – It's interesting, you know, it's interesting in the sense that I've actually been a little underwhelmed with Braylon Allen. And if you think I'm crazy, let me know. Like I guess dodging the tomatoes emoji, right? Maybe people are killing me on that one. Cause you know, he had a 30-yard touchdown, one of his first touches, finished with 80 something yards on not a bunch of carries, a solid yards per carry. He looks a little bit more tentative. You know, he's got a little Le'Veon Bell in his game where he's behind the line of scrimmage, and you can tell he's patient. He's looking for the hole. He's looking for the cutback. But I think at times he just needs to be a little more decisive and put his head down. And you see that with Malusi. You see that with Grendo. And part of this is also, if I'm going to be really fair, part of this is also the level of expectations I have for Braylon Allen. Like, I don't have Ches Malusi expectations for Braylon Allen, right? I don't think any of us do. I don't have Isaac Grendo expectations for Braylon Allen. For Braylon Allen, I have, like, Melvin Gordon expectations. You know, not this, obviously not the same type of player, but, like, I think he's that special and that unique. So I think occasionally he just needs to put his head down and be a little more decisive. The other running backs, and Coldstone, thank you so much for the show or the comment, man. I really appreciate it. I love Grendo. I've said it again and again and again. I think he needs more touches, and it doesn't have to be more touches out of the straight eye back. We're going to hand him off and go eye tackle or off tackle. Sorry. It could be more touches just in the sense of jet sweep, more touches in the sense of a screen, a wheel route. I love him. I think his game looks really good. He's big, fast, physical, and healthy. And as long as you have that, I think you got to get him more touches. Malusi's interesting. He's very decisive. Like, he hits the hole quick. He puts his foot in the ground, goes north-south, has, you know, more physicality than I think a back of his size usually has. So I like him a lot as well. It was nice to see Julius Davis get in the game, rip off a couple big runs. You can clearly see, though, and I don't know if it's still just he never got fully over the core injuries he had. He's missing, like, a little bit of the burst that he had in his high school film. And that's a shame because his high school film was ridiculous. Like everyone who watched that clip of him doing like that amazing Sports Illustrated play where he did a 360 hurdle over three defenders. I mean, his high school film was incredible, but he looks a little slower than everybody else. So it was also nice, by the way, to see Jackson Aker get his hands on the ball on a little swing pass that Mertz delivered. So overall, I think the running backs are great. I think our top three is about as good as you can get in the country. Maybe it's a product of my expectations for Braylon Allen, but I would like him to be just a tick more decisive. So, Cold Stone, man, thank you for the comment. Mitchell Bylack, who has made a bunch of comments on the show, really another great supporter of the show. It's just really hard to know how all this translates to next week. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you nailed it, 100%. And the next comment in the thing is TM3389 saying it doesn't translate at all. See, I'm going to disagree with you a tiny bit, TM3389. I think it does translate a little bit, right? Because here's what I'd say. Because I think the inverse would be true as well. If Wisconsin came out and they had a bunch more penalties and they were sloppy again and they struggled at the line of scrimmage against a bad team, I think that would translate to next week. So I think them coming out, dominating the line of scrimmage, looking like the far superior team, which they are, Mertz having another good game, the special teams being clean, I think that does help going into next week. I think it builds a little momentum. It builds a little swagger, a little belief. Mertz has another good game that he stacks. It's nice to see the clean special teams. But again, you are jumping from New Mexico State to Ohio State. So when we're asking how much all this translates, I think some of it, but for the most part, not all of it, right? Because the level of competition is jumping so dramatically. But it's certainly better than playing a 24-13 game, and it feels like you're limping into Ohio State. So great comment, Mitchell. Deborah Down, again, great support of the show. Badgers played a well-rounded game today. It was great to see so many different players involved in the offense. Yeah, I love it. I love seeing the balance. I love seeing – I'm a guy who loves blowouts because I love seeing the second-teamers, the third-teamers, Joe Bruner out there, Trey Wettig. I love seeing Deacon Hill and Miles Burkett, Julius Davis. You know, we saw a little bit of Vinny Anthony out there, even though he didn't catch a pass. So, agreed. I love seeing all the different players contribute and play. And from the starting group, you're really seeing such a balanced receiver core, right? Skylar Bell, it was kind of his day-to-day. The first couple weeks, I felt like they targeted Marcus Allen more. He didn't catch a pass today. We saw Dean Ingram more involved today. So, I love the balance that we're seeing, to Deborah's point, across the offense. Very well-rounded. Deborah, man, great comments. Thank you so much for, again, always supporting the show. Appreciate it. Coming up next, much more. We have a ton of comments we still want to get to. A few more things I want to get to coming up on Lockdown Badgers. But first, a word from our sponsors. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Lockdown Badgers. Coming off a 66-7 drubbing of New Mexico State. Really appreciate everybody listening, everybody tuning in, all the comments, everybody supporting and building this community. And that's what it's all about. It's about all the Badger fans that we can get together, elevating voices. And, you know, again, I'm very appreciative of everyone that has contributed to that. So this is your team every single day, and we're here for it. Let's keep laying out these comments. Let's keep talking about this game. Bax Outdoor Adventure, again, somebody who's made a bunch of contributions to the show. I still think the offense line has to be cleaner, tighter. There weren't holes there that were early, stiff competition. And certainly the competition is going to get stiffer. It's not going to be New Mexico State. So, you know, I thought the offense line was pretty good today, Bax, but there were a couple penalties. Tittman got banged on another one. There were a couple execution penalties, another chop block penalty. Those are just killers because they really set you back from where you were. I will say this. There are moments at the goal line where Braylon Allen's getting tripped up, where even Ches Malusi has to kind of use second, third effort to get in. It feels like we could be more physical at the point of attack in those moments. You know, it does feel like the holes maybe aren't where maybe we're not driving a New Mexico State defensive line off the line of scrimmage as much as we should. So I think that's a solid point. Certainly competition from here is, that's it. There's no more cupcakes, right? That's another thing to talk about. There are no more cupcakes. And maybe we shouldn't have ever considered Washington State a cupcake, but certainly Illinois State's a cupcake, right? Certainly New Mexico State is a cupcake. Those are gone, y'all. The bakery is out of business, okay? There are no more cupcakes. Now we have Ohio State, Iowa, Northwestern, Purdue, Minnesota, Michigan State. Like it's on now. So the offensive line has to step that game up for sure. Let's go into Mike Bowes. That was exactly what they needed to do to gain confidence. Next week is next week. This week was a job well done. I think it's 100%. Mike, you and I have never met, but I've never agreed with anybody more than that comment right there. Right? I think that is 100% spot on. That was exactly what they needed to do. Build some confidence. It can't hurt. Right? Keep in mind, you know, hesitate to call them kids, but these are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men. Like, that confidence matters. Playing really well and dominating an opponent, it matters. Like, it does play into the mental equation of going into next week. You don't want to be coming off a Washington State loss and then a close win against a terrible New Mexico State team. You want those momentum builders, and that's what they did this week. So it doesn't mean they'll beat Ohio State next week, certainly. It doesn't mean they'll be in the game against the Buckeyes, okay, certainly. But this is exactly what you wanted out of this week. Get in, dominate, be healthy, get the second stringers reps, move on to next week. So, Mike, 100% agree. Ionic Mystic, who, again, tons of comments on the show, really appreciate. Getting Alexander Smith back would be huge. Yeah, I'm beginning to think that injury is like it's clearly worse, right, than what we had originally maybe thought. And now I'm starting to get into the territory of maybe that's like a major hamstring injury where he's not coming back. They haven't ruled him out. I doubt you'll see him against Ohio State. Like, and quite frankly, I don't know. If he hasn't been able to practice, I don't know if you'd want to throw him out there against Ohio State and their thoroughbreds, right? Like, that might be just setting him up to get burned and roasted and hurt the defense. You might want to go with players, even if he is ready to go, you may want to go with players who've been playing for several weeks and have been practicing, because Ohio State's a different animal. Every receiver they have is a 4 or 5-star guy. So, yeah, it would be huge, Ionic. I 100% agree. I just don't know if that's happening anytime soon. A couple more comments. We got a bunch more people here. Try to get to everybody. Ryan Bliss. This is something that I was kind of yelling at the screen too, and this has been a couple-week issue. The defense needs to tackle better. Ryan, I agree. Great name, by the way. I 100% agree. The defense has had some issues wrapping up, and you've seen it from veterans, right? You've seen it from Torchio today. You've seen it from, you know, some of the linebackers, and, you know, Getz has had some issues tackling. Again, another veteran. Some of the young players as well, some of the secondary members. You know, Jay Shaw has had a few issues here and there. There sometimes Kamoi Latu, and listen, this is a Kamoi Latu show here, right? We love us some Kamoi, but he's had issues too. Obviously, last week, the glaring one against Washington State, but yeah, there's some kill shots out here on the defense where they're not wrapping up. And we saw it again today. Doesn't matter against New Mexico State, obviously not. But that missed tackle against Ohio State, that missed tackle against Jalen Berger and Michigan State, that can lead to 7 really quick. So yeah, the defense has to wrap up, play assignment sound, fundamental. And it just hasn't fully happened yet consistently for this team. Again, a lot of young players, right? Let's not gloss over that. But yeah, Ryan, great comment. I 100% agree. They have to tackle a lot better. Let's see if we can get Albino Ryan on the show. I see you in the queue, man. It says your device isn't connected. See if you can jump out and jump back in. It looks like I can't get you in right now. Either your mic or your camera isn't connected. But jump back in. See if we can get you on the show. I'm all about it. Let's go with Dallas Cowboss. Mertz is a baller. I always knew it. Just needed him to show it. Yes, let's go. I'm here for the hype. Like, I just did a positivity show last week, right? This is a 59-point win. Mertz is a third straight really good game. And maybe this is more who he is. Like, Dallas Cowboss, man, thank you for the comment. Thank you for jumping in. I love the optimism. I'm here for it. Maybe this is more of what Mertz is, right? You know, the last two years of Mertz's career, he's had a different offensive coordinator every year. He has not been surrounded by what I would call the best offensive ecosystem, right? So maybe with Bobby Engram, that receiving group around him, maybe now we're unlocking the parts of Graham Mertz that is more in line with his talent level, because he's making some really nice throws now. Again, there's a couple misses to Chimray, but every quarterback misses some throws, right? At the end of the day, he's 12 of 15 with 3 tutties. Obviously had the interception. We don't know how that would have panned out if the defense lineman didn't get his hand on the ball. It's very possible we're talking about a 13 to 15 game with no interceptions. So yeah, I'm really impressed. You know, there's a couple moments in the game too. There's one later in the game when Mertz was getting ready to come out, where he's scrambling, had some backside pressure, scrambled upfield, got 2 or 3 yards, and then got down, avoided the big hit, like didn't force the ball, didn't turn it over. You know, Mertz from a couple years ago might be forcing that ball into coverage. Maybe he fumbles it. We're seeing an evolution of Graham Mertz taking care of the football. And Dallas Cowboss, 100% agree. Mertz is a baller. Let's keep it going. Dylan Ward, excited for Big Ten play. Yeah, I am too. I really am too. I love every Badgers game. I love the out-of-conference games. I get excited for the blowouts because I like seeing younger players. I watch every single game, good or bad, from minute one to minute 60. Okay. I watched the entire Ohio State 59-0 game. I didn't leave it. Like, cause I feel like I have to be there for every second. I don't know why. So I like the blowouts, but yeah, now we're into the Big Ten play. I'm 100% with you. I'm really excited for the Ohio State game. I'm really stoked for it because I want to see how this team competes. Do I expect to win? No, I don't. I'm an optimistic guy, but no, I do not expect to win. Do I expect them to compete and stay on the field with Ohio State? That's a better question. So yeah, I'm excited for it. Andrew Larson, love the comments, everybody. Do we have any updates on Smith and Waller? Waller, I saw, and we have a few comments after that. Dylan Ward said Waller's going to be out a while. Yeah, I've seen that as well. Waller expect to be out for at least two or three more weeks at a minimum. Alexander Smith has just been the man of mystery. Like it's always kind of been talked about as just like he's dealing with a hammy thing. And, you know, we thought he'd be there in week one, maybe week two. And it just keeps kind of snowballing, which makes me think, I don't know. Maybe he had a setback. So I wish I could have more information for you there, Andrew. Appreciate the comments. Obviously, both of those players would be huge. Not having them available for Ohio State's a big deal, right? But that doesn't mean we couldn't have them available for the next time we play Ohio State. Wink, wink, right? So, yeah, no, I appreciate the comments, man. Let's go to Badger and Bournemouth. Holding penalties again. Yeah, there were a couple. Not as many, though, right? Obviously, Tippmann had one. I thought Tippmann's was a little ticky-tacky. Yeah, but Tippmann got one. I think Eschenbacher had one, 82, the tight end on the edge. That was on Garendo's run in the fourth quarter. You know, so yeah, I think you have to clean it up. You have to continue cleaning it up. But you're never going to be perfect either, right? And we went from a game where we had 11 penalties to a game where we had 4 or 5. So progress is where I would say. Mitchell Belak, Braylon Allen looks to be a little in his head to me. So this is probably going back to what I talked about earlier when I was a little curious about Braylon and maybe being a little too patient, right? And Mitchell saying, yeah, he looks to be in a little in his head. There's just something there where it looks like he's not seeing it right away. He's not hitting it right away. Like he's still so good. Like people are still bouncing off of him, right? His vision has always been really impressive for a younger player. But again, and I think Mitchell, maybe this is what you're saying, and we got another comment right behind here with Donovan Fitzsimmons. Donovan, thank you for the comment as well. Being a little too patient. Yeah, I think he's just being a little too patient. Like, it's okay to just put your head down, drive forward, and get 3 or 4 yards. And with that dude, with his lower body base and the type of build he has and the type of player he has, you know, he's going to get, if he puts his head down and just attacks, he's getting 2 or 3 yards every time. But we're seeing him get tripped up a little bit because he's maybe not seeing it or maybe not being as decisive. I don't know. I definitely want to go back and watch. I need to rewatch some of this and see, but maybe it's a rhythm thing. Maybe, you know, he's splitting carries with Malusi. I'm not sure. But I would like to see it back. Deborah, I think Cundiff is a natural receiver. Yes. Yes. This is a great point. Cundiff looks great, right? He looks great. He looks very much like, kind of like a Troy Fumagalli, you know, right in that mold of player who really is difficult for defenses in that 0 to 15 range, right? Because he's a good blocker. He's physical. He can shed coverage. Like, you know, smaller players have a hard time because he can shield them off. He's got really soft hands, moves well enough after the catch. Cundiff is really developing into like a really good weapon for Graham Mertz in this Wisconsin offense. And low key, I really liked him coming out of Kansas. When they recruited him, I thought he was underrated. I thought he showed a lot of receiving skills on film. And I'm not trying to like go back and pat myself on the back. I get plenty wrong, but I've always liked Cundiff in this role, and to see him kind of develop makes me really happy. I think he's becoming a really solid tight end one, and probably one of the better tight ends in the Big Ten, especially as that guy who can be on the line of scrimmage, hand in the dirt. You can leave him on some defensive ends, linebackers, and then he can release and you can bang him with a 15-yard out route. So 100%, Deborah, I think Cundiff has looked great. A bunch more comments. We're just going to keep busting through it because if you guys are going to take the time to be here, I am definitely going to take the time to be here. And we don't get a lot of game days, so we're going to talk about them when we get them. Big Apple Bucky, appreciate the comment. An encouraging quarterback performance today. I wonder if some of those completions in tight windows would be incompletions or interceptions against Ohio State. Yes, they would. They just would, right? Especially probably some of those where he's fitting in over a linebacker and in front of a safety. Like, you're going to have to be tighter on those. Ohio State just has athletes that most teams don't have. So it's a great point. certainly everything gets harder when you ratchet up the opponent. And New Mexico State just doesn't have dudes. They don't have dudes on the back end that Ohio State's going to have. So, yeah, some of those are absolutely probably going to have to be fit in tighter. There are points where I feel like Graham Mertz, and y'all let me know if you think I'm wrong on this. I think there's points where Graham Mertz could zip it in a little bit more. He puts a little too much air under it, which against New Mexico State is fine. Against Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Michigan, you know, I think you got to get it in there a little quicker. And there's a few spots where I think Mertz, you know, could zip it in a little more. He has the arm strength to do it. So it looks like he's guiding it at times a little bit. That's a great point, Big Apple Bucky. Let's go. Dallas Cowboss back on the show. Mertz's accuracy and no penalties does translate. Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of what I was saying earlier in the show. I think that you can't make a ton out of playing New Mexico State. But again, I'll go back to this. One of the best quotes I ever heard from a coach was at a coaching clinic, and they said, you know, don't overreact to everything, but make sure you react as well. In other words, you're playing a bad team, you still can take stuff out of this, right? You can still react to it. And we all know, I'd be right there with y'all. We all know if this wasn't a pretty game, if Wisconsin struggled, that we would be reacting to it, right? We would say that translates to Ohio State. So when the inverse is true and Wisconsin plays really well and really clean, I think that absolutely translates. It, again, within reason, it does not mean we're going to beat Ohio State, but this is definitely the step you want to see before that game. Dallas, man, thanks for the comment once again. Matthew pitched. Do you think BA losing weight was good for him? How much speed and agility is gained as opposed to strength and power loss? Yeah, again, one thing I'll always tell everybody on the show is I'm going to keep it real with you. I don't know. On this one, in terms of BA losing some weight, I know he lost some weight. I don't feel like I can speak to how much speed or agility is gained as opposed to strength and power loss. That would be probably a question for the strength and conditioning team, Braylon Allen. I do think, if I'm being honest, I did like the fact that he lost weight in the offseason. I talked about it. I thought he could use a little more quickness, a little more speed in his game. I didn't think losing weight would really affect his power that much. And I don't think it has. Like, I think we still see the power. To me, it's more of a decisiveness. It's more of a lack of seeing things develop. And I got to wonder, and this is a good question for everyone here. Let me know what you think. I got to wonder if maybe this is reflective of a difference between Gary Brown and Al Johnson, right? Al Johnson has never coached running backs. He's an offensive line guy. And maybe we're seeing some, I don't want to say issues. This is too early to say issues. And this is only me speculating, but maybe we're seeing some of a coaching drop off potentially between Gary Brown, who was a big time running backs coach, and Al Johnson, who's never coached running backs. It's something to monitor. Badger Bournemouth, the bakeries of it. Yeah, man. Coming in with some comments. First of all, he had a couple of really funny comments too. He said Northwestern and Nebraska are cupcakes. Yeah, they probably are. Northwestern lost today. Nebraska lost 49-14. They probably are cupcakes, but we know our history with Northwestern. And for some weird reason, Nebraska seems to play us close. They seem to play us close and lose, but they seem to play us close. So we'll have to see. Overweight Monkey, glad I could catch the show. Love the content as always. Man, no, I appreciate it. I really do. I love all the nice comments we've gotten. And again, that's reflective of y'all, of the comments you're bringing up, of the guests we have on. That is not me. That is everything that's good about the Badger community. So, no, I really appreciate it, man. Let's see. We got so many comments. If I don't get to your comment, by the way, I'm trying to hit at least everybody. Some people have multiple comments, and some comments are kind of different variations of the same thing. So if I don't hit your comments, don't be frustrated. Definitely believe I see them, and I'm trying to get to everything for sure. Mertz seems so much more confident. Another one from Deborah. He's successfully completing passes to four or five different receivers. Yeah, and I talked about this a little bit earlier. I think, actually, Deborah, it was your comment, again, about, you know, seeing a more rounded offense. Like, you know, it looks like Mertz is confident to go to any one of his, I would say, big three, right? I think Chimre, Skyler, and Marcus Allen are actually, you know what, really, it's really kind of a big four if you throw Clay Cundiff in there as well. I don't know. Like, this is just a really rounded passing game right now, because you can hit a lot of different weapons, and Mertz is showing that confidence to do it. And we saw Dean Ingram get some catches towards the end as well. So yeah, I agree. I think he looks confident. I like Mertz looks in control of the offense. He knows where to go with the ball, and he's not forcing anything, you know? So I 100% agree. Let's keep going here. So many comments. Nick Flahiv. Again, if I mispronounce it, I'm sorry. I think Grender should be the running back too. That's an interesting one. Let me know what y'all think on that. I want more touches for Grendo. And I think he gives you stuff that Ches Malusi doesn't. Right. I think he gives you a physical athlete that Malusi doesn't. I just don't think. I don't know about the two. I definitely want him to get more touches, though. And I appreciate where you come from this, because I think he is a better athlete than Malusi. He's bigger and faster. So definitely more touches, though. I think we all agree there. Let me talk a little bit really quick about what's coming up this week. I want to make sure everyone is on board. We definitely have basketball coverage coming up too. I know we're in the middle of the season, but we're going to start getting more basketball coverage out. We're going to have an Ohio State crossover with the Locked On Buckeyes host. So that's going to happen. I think we're going to have LaVie Smith, who was on the show once, an Ohio State guy, on the show as well to preview. So a lot of stuff coming up. Again, whatever we can do to keep pumping out content, keep building the community, we're going to do that. Again, if you want to join the Discord, we're doing our giveaway after – I'll do it right after this, actually. It's for the Team Ray DK rookie autograph card. We're going to give that away right on our Discord, just a way to say thank you. And really, guys, I just want to say, again, thank you. I appreciate it. It's your team every single day. Here for it. Let me know how I can be better. Leave comments, and we're going to talk to you again tomorrow. With that, on Wisconsin, I think I got to most of the comments, but – again, I know I missed some, and if I did, I apologize. Don't take it personally. And on Wisconsin, good win today. On to Ohio State next week. I think we're all amped up for it. And remember, good wins, bad wins, anything in between, bad loss, we're going to be here for you. We're going to talk it up. On Wisconsin, let's go.